Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Overnight America. All right. I put producer Mike on the spot. I thought our guest was calling us here. Apparently, we were going to call him. I mixed up the who's calling who. So I had to tell him at the start of the show real quick. It's the last week of the, or last show of the week. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you here. It was, of course, 314 Day or Pi Day, however you want to look at it. It has a different significance here in the St. Louis region, thanks to our zip code, or our area code, rather. And I also want to talk to you about this new campaign called STL Made. There's a video that came out. You know, it's something, I looked at it and I thought, I don't know how I feel about it. So joining us first will be a guest, a friend of mine out in Denver. His name is Ryan Schuling. And he is someone that I knew back in my college days, kind of indirectly even. And Ryan's a cool guy. He's someone that's a radio broadcaster himself. He is someone that worked with the Grand Rapids Griffins, I think before he went back to school, kind of like Rodney Dangerfield style. Well, not like, okay, that wasn't like Rodney Dangerfield. He didn't do the triple Lundy or anything like that. But he was someone that was involved in the broadcasting side, and he was someone that I really respected in the broadcast industry. I followed his career, was doing sports in Grand Rapids, was doing sports in Lansing, Michigan, and now he's doing news talk at great talk station out in Denver. Ryan Schuling joining us here on KMOX. Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Well, one Ryan to another. Hello, my friend. How are things in St. Louis?
Good. So you've been out in Denver for a little bit now, just in time to make it for the giant storm that came through.
Absolutely. And you know what? We were very well prepared for this, both you and I, with our childhoods in Michigan. But this was different. I mean, you learn things about the geography of Denver being on the Front Range with Fort Collins to the north and Colorado Springs to the south. And the accuracy with which they're able to predict weather varies a lot in what happens in the higher altitudes in the mountains to the west. So we're talking like Aspen and Vail and in that general area. So when they predicted this bomb cyclone, if you will, and the winds circulating the way that they were, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But then, you know, once they measured a low pressure reading that was the lowest on record in Pueblo, which is just the south of here, That's when you knew that things were going to take an ominous turn, and they certainly did.
Yeah, so you're with KHOW, Denver's talk station. Did people sleep at the radio station throughout the night because they were stranded there?
That's a great question. In fact, we were dealing with this as the hours went by in the morning, and my program director, Tim Spence, decided, well, if they're going to name the darn thing, then I guess we're going to have to make some preparations. So our sister station, KOA, basically went into full weather and traffic mode, and that's where it really got dicey, because whether it was the east-west freeways, which, of course, people in St. Louis will know I-70 extends out here, either way going out west toward the mountains or east toward Kansas, that the latter was actually worse going toward the plains of Kansas. And as you know, it would get the western part of Kansas, Nebraska pretty hard as well. And then the north and southbound freeways, I-25 going out of town, whether you're going north or south from the downtown region of Denver, that was also shut down. So in all four directions, if you wanted to get out of the city, you weren't going to do it on the freeways, that's for sure. And but basically lockdown mode, all the schools were closed. Denver Public closed the day before in anticipation of this. And this is one of those storms that it lived up to the billing. I was telling you earlier, Ryan, that four reporters from the Weather Channel were actually here on the ground reporting live in real time. And I think what really kind of was the variable in all of this was not just the snowfall and how rapid it was falling, which was like 2 inches per hour at one point, but the winds. Yeah. I mean, we're talking 70-mile-an-hour winds here, and that made the roads basically undrivable. They couldn't keep up with the clearing the snow, and yeah, it was a real nightmare here for a good while. And I think most people were best served just by hunkering down and staying home.
Yeah. When you say a good while, how long did the storm itself last where it was untravelable? If that's even a word, I don't know.
I like it. If you made it up, then you should enter that in. But yeah, it was around high noon is where it really started getting bad in terms of full snow from what was kind of a moist snow. And this is the weird part is, you know, late into the night before, we were looking at temperatures here in Denver that were hovering right around 50 degrees. And then the bottom fell out of that.
Oh, wow.
And the low pressure center, of course, moved northeast from where it was. And it was just a perfect storm of meeting the moisture, low pressure system, winds whipping around, and just kind of those confluence of factors coming into play. And it extended from noon to 2 to 3 p.m. And,
yeah,
you know, again, basically the roads were just filled with slush. It was about a foot deep in some places. It was just almost, unless you had a 4x4, almost unable to navigate it whatsoever.
Oh, and even then I've seen the photos and people posting up on the blogs where someone will try to make it to the gas station. They thought, oh, I can just hop up to the corner gas station. Nope. With all of the blowing snow through it. Joining us now, Ryan Schuling and from KHOW in Denver. I love hearing these broadcast stories of people that get stuck or they're at the radio station. They're not allowed to leave. I'm going to guess you're the type of guy that maybe walked outside for a brief minute just to see what the conditions felt like on your skin.
Brian, you know me too well. That's exactly what happened. I went outside. I can send you the short video I shot, about 30 seconds worth. And again, we're from the Great White North in Michigan, and we get some tough winters. But when that wind chill kicks in, 70-mile-an-hour winds, then the visibility was down. It was cutting through you like a knife. And, yeah, I didn't last very long out there. The video only lasted about 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that. So it was 50 degrees before the storm hit?
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, the night before and the day before, the high temperature was probably right around 60.
Wow.
So you're seeing these signs on the freeways saying, you know, warning, there will be blizzard-like conditions, roads will be snow-covered. And I'm driving going, it is 60 degrees out right now and sunny. I don't believe this. And then, sure enough, it happened. And you know, it just goes to show that, you know, with modern technology, their ability to measure exactly, you know, where these storms are charted, where they're passed through. I mean, it really hit exactly where they said. And, you know, kudos to all the meteorologists out there, and particularly the Weather Channel. They really did nail it. I think people were more prepared. We did have, unfortunately, there were some accidents, fatality that included a local trooper, police officer who was outside of his vehicle. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you can do so much to prepare, again, to hunker down. But once the reality of the storm hits, there's only read and react at that point.
Yeah, and Central Michigan, where we went to college, really didn't have, there were storms and there were people that would talk about the days where it was, you know, 10 feet tall, snowbanks and things. But the farther north you went to Michigan, this seems like a normal day up in the UP. All the stories I've heard up there, this is something they've prepared for pretty much every winter. And I always wonder, too, If it's 50 degrees the day before, how many people start showing up to work in the light jackets thinking, you know, oh, nothing's going to really be a big deal? Like in Michigan, when you get a 50-degree day outside the winter, people are in shorts and flip-flops. You know, it feels like a warm summer day there. So I also think, okay, great. Now you're stranded in your car. You're wearing shorts. The jacket's thin. And who knows how long you're going to last because no one can get to you because there's a million other emergencies going on. It's good to be prepared for these things.
Oh, that's such a good point, too, the prioritization of, you know, who can they get to and how severe is the accident? Are there injuries involved? And it is one of those where people were trapped on the freeways up in the higher mountain ranges. If we go west on I-70 there, and that has happened more than once. We've had here in Denver more than our fair share of avalanche situations
so far
this winter. It's been a really chaotic, mercurial, literally and figuratively, winter here in Denver. You know, the locals are more used to it than I am, but you mentioned, say, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They're more accustomed to it, I believe, in my opinion. They're more well-suited for snow clearance. There are more trucks out and able to clear the roads. That seems to be a slower process here in Denver. And again, with the volatile nature of the weather, do they wait until it melts? Do they, you know, what roads do they have to clear? Which ones are first priorities? And there will go, Ryan, a couple of days here where there are slush-covered roads, maybe side streets, urban areas that don't get cleared for days on end, and that continues to be a hazard even into today and tomorrow, and we expect about 50 degrees by Sunday.
Yeah, I know your program director probably eager to get the look back at how the ratings did. You probably had half the city listening to you guys when there's big emergencies like this, I'm sure. And everyone all hands on deck. Isn't there something magical about everyone all hands on deck when you're a broadcaster? It's so cool when you got a bunch of moving pieces and you put this masterpiece together on the air. It sounds like you guys did a wonderful job covering this, so I want to applaud you.
Well, thanks, Ryan, and that's exactly right. I mean, when you hear about, well, everything's going to online, to podcasts, to, you know, portable audio, and that's all a big part of it. You have to evolve in this business, but there's a certain element, like you and I, we're both old school when it comes to radio, that to be live and local and on the scene and eyes, you know, and ears for everybody out there listening, really nobody can get to you with the immediacy of radio, with the information of radio as quickly as that medium does. So no matter how much content might go online, podcasts, everything else, there's always going to be that need, like you just touched on, to have that mm-hmm. live local coverage of a event in real time like is happening, and the weather affects everybody. There's nobody that's excluded from that.
Yeah, you're so right. And it's not just the weather. It's the every day there's something going on in your community that you're not going to be able to catch up anywhere else. And radio is a great delivery method for that and a great way to connect with people. It's how many other mediums out there can have conversations like this? You just don't have it in real time where you can talk about things that affect communities. So Ryan Schuling over at KHOW in Denver, I'm so glad you spent some time tonight to join us here on KMOX.
Ryan, great catching up. Thanks for having me.
He joins us on the GL International Realty guest line. He's a cool cat, man. I remember him when I was going through school. This is back in the early 2000s, he was coming back and doing grad work, and he was one of the coolest guys to learn from. Really, really cool guy. Right, so here in St. Louis, you may have seen there's a big push, STL Made. There's a video series that came out today, a big push on March 14th, which is 314, you know, 314. It's also our area code. So they coordinate this, and they put the video out, and I was watching it, and I thought, oh, that's a little weird. I don't know. I want to talk to you about something in that video, and I want to see if that strikes weirdness in anyone else. Like that, I thought it was an odd selection of what they decided to put in there, and I'll explain coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
News at the top and bottom of the hour, mornings and afternoons, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America, last show of the week. And this is a segment that I didn't exactly know how to approach, because earlier today there was a story posted on KMOX.com, and there was a big push by an organization, and the organization is meant to help promote St. Louis as a friendly place for everyone, and they put a video out called STL Made Anthem. It was published yesterday, actually, and I watched it, and it's what you would call somewhat of a sizzle reel. Their website is thestl.com. It says, proud to support and promote these stories of a renaissance taking place from the ground up right here at home. The last time we saw one of these is when we got to see the video they sent to Amazon. Something very similar, where they made hustle in, you know, St. Louis, or, you know, St. Louis hustle, and they were showing all these people going out there working and doing this. It was just a year ago that video came out. So we saw something very similar. It didn't really work to try to get people from Amazon to put attention to St. Louis. We didn't even make the cut for, you know, the next round. They could have reused that, or they could have found a way to incorporate that into a marketing campaign for the city. But instead, we see this. I don't know if it's the same people. I don't know if it's the same organization. I don't know who's paying for this. I have no idea. But I watched the video, and there was something in the video that struck me as a little bit odd. So I started to talk to the people around the office, and I said, that's a little weird to put into your introductory video, right? Is that a little, is that weird? So you're promoting the city, and I'm going to play the video for you. And the idea is, let's look at all these different types of people that make up St. Louis. And here's someone working over here, and here's someone doing this artistic thing over there, and who's doing this and who's doing that. And at the very end of the video, they do a montage of people. And during that montage, where they're just doing quick clips of people, there's a drag queen. And I thought, that's a little, this is where I had a hard time trying to figure out. Is drag queen synonymous with St. Louis? Is this something that we use as a promotional? Like, was that specifically put in there to say, we are progressive, like what you would see in a Seattle or a Portland or a San Francisco or something like that. We are so progressive. We are on that same page with everyone. Anything goes. It's St. Louis, come and live here type of deal. Is it mainstream? That's the first thing I thought. Is being a drag queen so mainstream you put it in your promotional videos to promote your city? I really didn't know how to digest that. I really didn't. Because I thought, if this is going to be a promotional piece for the city, I know, I get it. There's all kinds of different types of people in St. Louis. There's different types of people everywhere in the world. I totally understand that. But this is your introductory video to promote the city. And it just struck me as, that's a weird choice. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And you know, I asked Charlie Brennan about it because I was in during the day today. I'm going to let you know what he said. This was hard for me to figure out how to approach this topic because I thought, do I do this? Do I talk about this? Do I not talk about this? Is this something that's a weird choice? Is this not a weird choice? Is this just normal now? Is this mainstream promoting a city that has a drag queen scene? Is that mainstream now when it comes to what would cities promote? It was just confusing to me. I thought I don't know if I've ever watched a promotional video for anywhere else and thought, wow. Yeah, let me just play the video for you so you kind of get a feel for it.
St. Louis is the home of makers, builders, creators, thinkers, and doers. We've always been this way.
And they're showing a bunch of clips of around St. Louis. You know, there's the statue in front of the Art Museum. There's a clip of the lawn looking down to the downtown City Hall, but you can't see the arch behind it the way they have it. And it shows people working in a foundry and people writing on a whiteboard like they're doing some sort of educational or something like in the tech industry or whatever it is. And then you have people over here making food. And, you know, it's just a bunch of quick clips of people doing things.
And today, our tenacious spirit of doing is creating a renaissance from the ground up.
All right, so they're showing construction ground up, okay? And then there's people that are actually, looks like lures. They're designing lures.
Later at a time.
You know, they're looking into, you know, it's like they're doing like medical tech. So they're looking at slides.
You see, this is a place
yoga
that loves to say yes.
A bunch of people smiling. There's Washington Street downtown. Show the Cardinals, show the Blues, people sitting in their living room drinking coffee.
We are generations old and generations young. We're the home of global leaders and local gems. We're looking in the mirror and seeing what needs to be done. Committed to building a region that doesn't stop moving forward. By bringing people, businesses, and institutions together in bold ways with a determined spirit.
Okay, so now they show music. This is the first clip of music in here. So for the most part, they're showing people that are, they're welders and they're, you know, people that are doing construction. And then you have people that are teachers and people, you know, putting donuts out. And it just kind of shows, you know, a lot of your everyday type of jobs where people are doing service jobs, you know, and then they do some of the behind the scenes ones where it shows them in the tech where they're wearing the white lab coats and, you know, they're looking through Bunsen burners and things like that.
Of optimism to create a region that's more open to all. We're making a place where you can start something, where you get the support to stand out.
Okay, and they show like the printing presses and they show on right in front of the art museum, kind of like you would see a lot of people out when there's the balloon glow, just totally packed full of people. It shows people getting piano lessons and kids and families and adults, everyone smiling and putting, you know, St. Louis branded things.
Where you can stay, put down roots, and make St. Louis yours. Nowhere does the spirit of being STL made shine brighter than in the stories of the people who live here. Because the people here make
okay,
St. Louis.
Now they're showing the...
But something about St. Louis makes our people too.
Oh, there it is. Okay. So it shows a bunch of people.
That's STL made.
And there's a quick montage of just boom, 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 boom. Here's a bunch of people. And one of the people on that montage was a drag queen. And then at the very end, it says STL made, startup, standout, stay, the STL.com. And it's a picture of the base of the arch. And it shows a bunch of people just kind of, you know, not necessarily picnicking, but sitting in the grass, kind of looking out to the Illinois side. And there's just a large group of people just kind of enjoying a beautiful day on the arch grounds after, I'm sure, the renovations. Looks really nice out there. And that was it, about a minute and a half in. And I watched that and I said, wait a minute, they put a drag queen. And I thought, maybe that's a little weird for your first video. Maybe that's a weird choice. Is it just mainstream now? Am I just overthinking it? But when you're doing a promotional piece to promote the city, you know, there's a lot of things that go into the city. And the first thing about St. Louis, if you want to give the impressions to St. Louis, is that the impression is the message we are so diverse that, you know, we need to promote that we have a drag queen scene in areas of the city. Is that purposely done? I just don't understand. Maybe I'm overthinking this. If you haven't seen the video, I'm sure you haven't. There's only about 850 people that have viewed it on YouTube. And it's brand new. And if you want to see it, there's a clip on KMOX.com. I want to take some of your calls on this. Is this a me problem, or is this odd to anyone else that this would be part of the promotional campaign to push the city? 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Seriously, I was really hesitant how to bring this topic up on the air because I thought, you know, this is something that could offend people, but I want to have a conversation about this. I really want to know. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Overnight America continues. All right. So right before the break, I played for you the promotional video that was from STL Made, and they purposely put it out on March 14th, which is 314-314, you know, the area code. And it's a new campaign that's out in order to try to tell the story of St. Louis and emphasize, and this is what they say in their press release, emphasize the innovators, thinkers, doers, and makers across the area. And as I was watching this minute and a half video, at the end, they do a montage and it just, you know, people smiling. And it's like, boom, 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 bunch of people. To me, I'll give you the impression when I was talking to people around the office, what they were saying. I showed Charlie, I showed Chris, I showed Valerie, a couple of people that are here in the office. And I said, is that a little odd selection for your promotional video, seeing this is your first impression that you're sending out to people? Is this the, you know, is this the representation of the city, and is this what we're doing now? And I showed it to Charlie, and Charlie said, you know, it's no big deal. He said, because it's only like a fraction of a second it's in there. The video doesn't focus on it. It's just something that's included on it. So he said, it's too small to care about. So, okay, that's a fair point. He also said this is a pretty boring video. There's nothing special about it that really showcases St. Louis. In fact, you could have taken out some of the individual landmarks and no one would have known it was St. Louis, right? There was nothing special about the video. So there were some other things that they said about it too, some of the critiques of it. It's what they do with it, I guess. How are they actually going to promote the city, which the city has, I mean, far lacked promotion for itself. Historically speaking, it's done a terrible job trying to get the positive stories out there. So I'm glad they're trying to do something at least. So let's take some of your calls on this. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just too small to care about. Maybe I'm just looking at this and I'm blowing it out of proportion. I don't know. Let me go to Shelley in St. Louis. Hey, Shelley, what's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, I don't think it's a big deal at all. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm you know, in my 40s, I'm married, I have a child. There's nothing about it. I think that represents a portion of our city, and I think it's entertainment. I don't think it's a big deal. I also think that if we want to attract younger people into our city, similar to like Minneapolis, we have to show that we're not just what you might see on the news. And we've had lots of issues with that the last few years, and it's kind of nice to see another side of it.
Hmm.
And to show, you know, that maybe everyone's welcome. And,
I guess.
And I agree with Charlie. It's not, they didn't focus on it. I certainly wouldn't want that to be the focus. I mean, if they're going to focus on something like talk about the bio belt or something else, but I don't know. I just don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, when I saw that, it's the first thing I thought was, is it so mainstream that you would use it and purposely put it in your promotional materials? I don't know what the scene looks like for drag queens in St. Louis, but it's got to be a small population. I mean, there can't be a lot of people that participate in that, can there be?
I think there's probably more than you think, but I do think it's just another form of entertainment, and I don't think that most younger people, I don't think much about it. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's just another form of entertainment.
You think it's one of those, oh, good for them. You know, it's whatever. Whatever people want to do, let them do it. And, hey, I'm glad to live in a place where people can do those things. You think it's one of those deals?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone myself with friends, and honestly, it's quite entertaining. And I've seen lots of different people there and I think when you see people there that you wouldn't think would typically be there, they have a lot more fun than what you would think. And I don't know. I just, maybe okay. It's me, but I just don't think it's a big deal.
Not a big deal. All right. Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks.
All right, bye. Okay. Let me go to Bob in St. Louis. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hi, Ryan. Well, I'm in my 70s, and I consider myself fairly conservative, and I have not seen the video, but from your description, I have to kind of agree with Shelley that if it's intended to just portray all the different activities that might be in this St. Louis area, I'm not offended by that. I think that very insignificant part be in there also. You mentioned that it showed people watching the balloon glow, looking at the arch. I just think that if the intent is to show all the different things you can do or activities in the St. Louis area, doesn't offend me that they show a drag queen also.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... So when I was looking at it, I was trying to at least commentate on all the different things that people were doing because I wanted to bring this point up too. When I think of St. Louis and all the activities that are around here, something they ignored in that, they didn't show anyone of faith or showing church. There's a million churches here in St. Louis. There's a huge population of people of faith. That wasn't highlighted. So I'm thinking to myself, that was purposely put into this video. Is it so mainstream that that's how we promote ourselves to grow as a city? And then we just forget about all the other things that the city has to offer. I wondered that too. I thought, is that so purposely done in a way where they're trying to put those subtle clues in there and use it as a way to say, this is what St. Louis is, forget about all the other things? Am I overthinking it?
I would agree with you that if the intent is to show a universal depiction of what all we're about, show everything. And yes, faith and churches is part of that. So that should be a part of it also.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times that conflicts. So I think they picked... Okay, maybe I'm just too conspiratorial in this. Maybe I'm looking too far into it. Maybe I should talk to the people that actually made this video. But, you know, maybe they had to pick a side, and they picked a side. So I wonder these things. I just wonder these things. I want to know. I mean, I'm curious about it. If this is going to be the big marketing push for the city, I want to know why they made the decision to market a certain way and why they thought this would be the way to get more people into the city and what their intentions were. I just want to know. I mean, I don't think that's an unfair question to ask.
No, it's not. I agree. It should be universal, and they should broaden the scope of all the activities that they show.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Bob. All right. Bye.
Thanks.
You know, this is what I'm wondering. Can you put both of them in there and say, we're so diverse, you know, you have this community that does this sort of thing where guys dress up as girls for entertainment, and then you have this community that does this sort of thing, which is go to church every Sunday. And there's a huge faith community. You cannot ignore that here in St. Louis. But I wonder if that was purposely left out to not conflict with the other messages that were there. I don't know. Maybe I should ask them. I should see if I can get them on the line. Let me get to Jim in Florissant. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Yeah, it'd be an interesting question to hear the answer to.
I want to know. This was the hard thing for me, Jim, and I'm trying to do this in a way because I don't want people to think I'm coming out here and I'm the angry white conservative dude that, you know, hates any change in life or whatever it is. I'm just saying I look at this on a marketing standpoint. I know someone. I mean, I'm in a business where we're constantly marketing certain things. Everything's done intentionally. They spent money on this. They probably spent a lot of money on this. They probably
put a lot of thought into it. Yeah. Yes.
So I just want to know. I want to know what the intentions are. And keep in mind, if we're going to promote our community to grow our community, is this part of it so mainstream? This is the way you grow St. Louis? I don't know. I'd like to know.
So we've got several communities of faith in this area, as you mentioned. You know, we've got more Trump supporters than we do drag queens in St. Louis. I doubt there were any people wearing MAGA hats.
No, I didn't see any political affiliation in this, though, to be fair.
You know, but, you know, we've had some big rallies here. And there are things like that we are the center of. I mean, Missouri is kind of an epicenter for some of that stuff. So, you know, that's another thing. Now, you got the other aspect of this that caught my attention was the city-county merger. Mm-hmm. And if the city's going to promote this kind of stuff at the exclusion of maybe the more conservative elements in the county, that's just another reason not to merge.
Interesting. Explain that. Why you say that?
Well, if that's the the message is we're diverse, and here's the type of diversity we approve of, but we don't approve of. I live in Florissant, okay? There's Catholic parishes all over the place up here. Did they show a picture of the cathedral? Probably not. There's a lot of history there. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I didn't see it.
Well, they do have a lot of, like, aerial shots. They show the arch. They show, I don't know what amphitheater. Is there an amphitheater by the water? I don't exactly know which one that is. Let's see. There's an overhead shot of, I think that's Wash U, but it's just an aerial shot. It's not, like, focusing. You can't tell that's what it is unless you knew it. It shows Washington downtown where you have, like, the lights over the bar area scene. I'm just kind of scanning through this. I really don't see any cathedrals. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's going to be how they promote it, and the stuff that's important to people in the county is going to just be glossed over, there's a message there to us.
Interesting. So they're focusing on things that happen in the city, not necessarily the region. Because this is
exactly.
Oh, well,
yeah. And that's a big. That's the big concern of the people who are opposing this merger.
Totally get it. Where do you think the city would be without the region in general, you know?
Right.
That would be a difficult position to put the city in. All right. Hey, Jim, thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks. Right.
That makes a fair point. Okay. Let me take some more of your calls at 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line or 800-925-1120. And again, I'm just asking the question mostly because I wonder how mainstream actually is this to say this is how we promote trying to attract new people into our city. This is meant to try to go out there in a way to bring tourists or to bring people in to show them our diversity in order to attract them to this region. Ultimately, every other major city is doing the same thing. They want to try to attract businesses. They want to attract people, families, jobs, all of these things. So they have to make it look as attractive as possible. So why did the decision go in to do it this way? I mean, I think it's a fair question, at least for me. And I want to get some more of your thoughts on this next on Overnight America KMOX.
Now, more of Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
You know, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Or if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast, KMOX.com/overnight. Or really, wherever you download your podcast, you can get it there. There was a video that came out, STL Made. TheSTL.com was the website they're promoting. And it's a way, I don't know if it's the Visitors Bureau. I don't know who exactly spearheads this effort. But it's a way to highlight St. Louis to the rest of the United States and the world that you should come here. You know, we are storytellers, we are innovators, we are thinkers, we are doers. And then at the end, there was something that made me pay attention where they put a drag queen as part of the montage of who we are. And I wonder why they decided to do that. And it made me wonder, too, is it just so mainstream? That's how you promote people to your city? Is it even a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Am I overthinking this? I don't know. I really don't. Let me go to Austin in St. Louis. Hey, Austin, what's going on?
Hey, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I have not seen the video, so take that in respect of what I say. Mm-hmm. But the drag queen doesn't bother me, especially if it's super short. But if they were to go to some faith-based situations, I'm Jewish. I'm sure my community would be very offended if they only showed a Christian side. Mm-hmm. So if they did something like that, they would have to, you know, go to the Christian and the Judeo and plus the, you know, Muslim communities, mm-hmm. because it's such a touchy subject that they wouldn't be able, you know, they'll offend somebody. So maybe that's why they just left it all completely out.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they showed anything of faith in this, which makes me wonder, were they purposely trying to hide away from it because they thought it would conflict with some of the other messages they're putting in there? So part of this video, too, you know, and I didn't even bring this up because I don't think it matters, but, you know, they had the gay pride flag and, you know, they're doing other different, like, sprinkling social issues into the video. That wasn't really the thing that bothered me in the sense that I was, you know, I wonder why they decided to do that. That totally I understand when you want to fully represent a community. It was the part that I thought, is that just so mainstream? mainstream anymore, that sort of entertainment, when it comes to drag queens, that we're using it as part of our promotional material. That's what confused me a little bit. So, yeah,
I think
if you showed anyone of faith and just people of faith in general, I don't know, I guess for if you're Jewish, then if you were wearing something that would show and indicate of your faith, that might be a little more of a visual sign. But, I mean, they just dropped everything out altogether. I mean, they just shied away from it. So I wonder if that was intentional. I just wonder.
Well, I don't know how they would do, how they would show people of faith and have it represent all faith, which would be the issue, I would think.
Yeah, if you show a beautiful, you know, even a Catholic cathedral, there's some of the most beautiful buildings here in St. Louis. So
if there's even a hint
of that, or, I mean, there's other things that go on here in the city that, you know, are faith-based, and I think that is super represented. I mean, how can you go anywhere in St. Louis and not meet someone who has some sort of belief? You know, it's widely believed here. So I don't think represented here. So was it we got enough of that already? We don't need to promote that side? I don't know.
You know, they very, very easily could have done what you said about the cathedral or some of the, you're absolutely right. St. Louis is known for incredible architecture for their
beautiful
churches.
Yeah,
if they could have done some quick flashes of that and not show people inside,
yeah, that could have been part of it.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, and all of those things. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different people they show. People playing violin. You have people branding pieces of wood. You got people making donuts. You got people that are inside of labs. Who knows what they're working on? You got people walking in parks, sitting on their couch, drinking coffee. You got people on construction sites. I mean, there's a lot of different types of people here, and I get that you only have a certain amount of time to show, but I'm sure that some thought went into it. Austin,
absolutely.
How long have you lived here in St. Louis?
My whole life, 50 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay. Have you seen a lot of these revitalized type of pushes to try to show the rest of the world St. Louis over the years?
No, actually, I haven't. I think we have, and I'm a little surprised because my daughter and I went to go see the Something Rotten musical last night, and we were talking to the cast afterwards, and we said, you know, why are you only coming to St. Louis one day, but you're going to Kansas City for a couple?
Mm-hmm.
And their thought was, well, Kansas City is a larger city,
yeah,
and it's not.
Yeah.
You know, this is, and regarding that whole merger thing, I understand why they want us. It would bring us into what I think I heard you say it would bring us inside the top 10.
It was right around number 10. Yeah. Some people say 9. Yeah. It's probably number 10. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I wouldn't mind letting the rest of the world think that we, you know, well, let them know that we are a city. If you go to Missouri's wiki page, it says that the largest city in the state is Kansas City and the largest county in the state is St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you add the two populations together, we're larger.
Yeah. So, you know, what makes me wonder, too, if you're a promoter, how do you not know that about the demographics of the area? Seriously. And if you're someone out there trying to book some of these plays or acts or shows or whatever it is, obviously you're going to use the stats of the combined county and city. You're not just going to use one or the other. I mean, that's all done on the back end. I'm sure the entertainers might not know the difference, but they're not the ones that are doing the bookings, per, you know.
I hate to say it, but I think a lot of it is done by folks in their 20s that don't really know how to do that.
So people just don't know much about geography in general, and they don't realize how big of this area is. Huh. You know, it's good.
I mean, when I took my last vacation, I used AAA, and they said that St. Louis, Houston, and Atlanta are the three biggest cities for urban sprawl. Well, mm-hmm. Atlanta and Houston are larger than us, I believe.
Oh yeah.
But if you think about it, all the cities in Illinois, St. Charles, down in you know, the Arnold area, Jefferson County, and all that kind of stuff, we are a widespread area.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so I think a lot of other cities, you know, they kind of cramp it all in a little bit closer and tighter than what we do.
Yeah. All right, Austin. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
All right. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Okay, good point there. I wanted to just piggyback on one thing you said. You've lived here 50 years. How many times have you seen a successful promotional push from the city to try to go out there and attract different people in? After the whole Amazon sweepstake fell through And honestly, I think we dodged a bullet with the Amazon divas. I'm glad we don't have to deal with that sort of thing. I think we should save our resources for a company that actually wants to be here. So this is good. I think that trying to promote the city, and I might just be playing Monday morning quarterback or backseat driver or whatever you want to say when it comes to their, but I would like to know. I think they're fair questions here, but at least they're trying to do something. How long have they gone without actually putting these sort of pushes out to the rest of the world to let St. Louis know we're here? All right, coming up in the next hour, we are going to start with John Lindsay. He is coming into studio next week. He is a ghost hunter. You may have seen him on A&E. He's bringing his crew. He's bringing his cameras. We're going to do a live ghost hunt on the air. So next hour, right after the news from CBS and Brad Choate, we're going to talk about the things we're going to look for in this very KMOX building. This will be fun. He's coming up next.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.